Hello, everybody. I'm Danny Boom Boom McCarthy.
Well, I'm tired and so weary, but I must go along till the Lord comes and calls me away. Oh, yes. Well, the morning's so bright, and the Lamb is the light, and the night is as black as the sea. Oh, yes.
There will be peace in the valley for me someday.
There will be peace in the valley for me, dear Lord, I pray.
There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble, I see.
Hello and welcome back, everybody, to the Story of Nowhere podcast. My name is Daniel McCarthy, and for you today, I've got a little bonus episode, one of my off-the-cuffers that I like to do from time to time. So you'll forgive me if the audio quality's not so good, or if maybe there's a little more background noise than you're used to. I apologize for that, but I am not at home, and I figured, nonetheless, I wanted to get this one out there. So, number one, I want to say welcome and thank you to any new listeners who may be just joining the podcast after hearing my appearance on the School Sucks podcast. It was a great honor to be on there, and particularly the episode I was on was number 728, and it was an episode of Brett's series called The Discomfort Zone. And so I was very happy and indeed honored to be asked to join that show. So I want to extend a very deep and humble thank you to Brett and to Andrew and to everyone at the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, where that episode was recorded live in front of a studio audience. Fantastic. So thank you, everyone involved in that. It was a true honor. And also, if you heard that episode, I'll tell you that at the end of it, they do a sort of like accountability promise, I guess you would call it, a promise, a commitment, where the person, well, first of all, I guess I should tell anyone who's not familiar what the show is, although most of you are probably familiar, whatever. Very briefly, the idea of the show is sort of like a mastermind group. So a person comes with a problem, and they express their problem, and then they kind of brainstorm what are actual practical steps that could be taken to remediate that problem and fix it. And then at the end, the person in question with the problem agrees to do a tangible thing in a given period of time, and then actually perform that thing that will help them get closer to their goal. And then, you know, that's a way of moving forward and also keeping yourself accountable. When you're making a promise or a commitment in front of a bunch of people or to an audience, it's a lot harder to go back on it than if you just silently make a promise in your own head and keep it to yourself. So the accountability commitment that I made on that show was that in pursuance of my personal business and growing that business, which is indeed this podcast and the book, et cetera, that while at the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, I would sell 20 physical copies of the Story of Nowhere book, because that was the amount that I had taken with me. So I said, I'll sell every single book that I brought with me, and I did it. So, congratulations to me, I suppose. I managed to get rid of 20 books. I made almost $300. So basically, the cost of having the books printed and shipped was completely paid for, and the cost of actually going to the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest was also paid for. So, I don't know, it feels pretty good. I feel like a businessman. I may even had a little bit of profit in there. So, thank you to everyone who was there who bought a book. And even if they weren't all bought with cash, I did some bartering as well, which is very satisfying. So, anyway, I just wanted to say that the conclusion to the Discomfort Zone episode I was on was indeed a success. So, there's that. But the real subject of today's show, what I really want to talk about, is the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest itself. It's been about 2 weeks, maybe a couple days over 2 weeks since the fest. Actually, no, I believe yesterday would have been exactly 2 weeks since it ended. So it's been 2 weeks. I haven't heard of anyone dying of COVID. So there's that, which, you know, I don't really know how many of us who attended were actually concerned about that. Indeed, if anyone was concerned, their concerns may now be assuaged. I haven't heard of any cases of anyone who was at the fest even getting COVID. If they did, I'm sorry if I don't know your story. Hope you're all right. You probably are. But anyway, it turned out to be a healthy and productive outdoor event. I've been wanting to go to the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest for some years now, ever since I heard about it, and it's just never worked out. I've always been busy working in the summertime. But this year, again, Brett Vinat, School Sucks podcast, announced that he was going to be doing his final School Sucks show there. And so I figured, you know, I've always wanted to go to this thing, and now there's a special occasion. A friend of mine is doing like a really big thing. This is sort of like a historic moment in the podverse that I'm in. So God damn it, let's go. And so I was able to get some time off of work. Alice was able to do the same. We had to rent a car, which, that was tedious. But Jesus, the fest made it all worth it. Certainly a rental car was, it was no problem at all, considering how great the fest was. So we made it up there finally, and just had a wonderful weekend. Everything was fantastic. And so today I just want to quickly kind of tell you about some of my reflections, what I'm taking away from the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest 2 weeks later, what it's left me with. So again, like I said, absolutely tremendous time. It was from a Thursday to a Monday. We left on Sunday. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we were there. And every single day was just amazing. It was outdoors. It was camping, which is something that I haven't gotten to do for maybe even over a year at this point, camping. And Alice and I sure love to camp. So we did that, which was satisfying in and of itself. But we were also just surrounded by an amazing group of people, a competent, intelligent, and productive group of people. Everyone who put on the fest, who is actually responsible for its organization, I mean, hats off to them. They truly put together something phenomenal. And I wish I had a list of every single name. I know some names, but I don't want to single anyone out or like leave anyone off. So I'll just say thank you deeply to everybody who was involved in that. And maybe one day I'll be able to help out in some way too. It's just such a wonderful thing. I'd love to be able to give back to the community. So anyway, we wound up sleeping in our rental car, which is kind of goofy. It's a semi-long story I'm not going to bore you with, but it was not good. it was not good for the old back. I'm a young man, and even still, it hurt. But as I said, any sort of negative experience was totally, totally overshadowed by just how great the fest was. So I'll take sleeping on what was essentially like a staircase. I'll take that in exchange for enjoying that weekend I did. Every month, if it were an option, I'd do that over and over and over again. So that was great. It was really, really refreshing to be around people who, well, to be around a group of people who don't have plans for you, your life, your family, your money. You know, living in the society in which we do from day to day, and being that that society is essentially controlled by a government to some degree or another, and particularly given these times with the coronavirus and whatever else, we're always sort of walking on eggshells. There are always people looming in the background who have plans for you, for your life. They're making decisions. in meetings that you're not invited to that determine what you are and are not allowed to do. And even if you don't really see those processes going on, sometimes they're more subtle than others. Sometimes they're as blatant as locking down businesses and telling people they can't leave their houses, essentially, which is rather egregious, of course. But most of the time, it's going on in the background. It's corporations determining what products are going to be put out and what labels are going to be on them. Or it's the government determining some program that affects how much money is taken out of your paycheck and on a given month, whatever. These things are always going on. And being at the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, it's just really nice to sit outside on an afternoon and know that no one there is scheming to, like, silently pick your pocket, you know? Certainly, I mean, you know, maybe there is, you know, maybe somebody was thinking of that. I can't imagine who. Everyone there was perfectly decent, as far as I could tell. But certainly, there would be no toleration if there had been, like, a thief or whatever who was there. And again, there wasn't. So, I mean, I'm not trying to give the wrong impression here. It was a fantastic time. But if there had been someone like that, certainly there'd be no tolerance for them attempting to legitimize their actions. You know, like, oh, I'm stealing from you. Yes, but it's justified and for your own good, which is obviously the only function of government, really. And indeed, you know, by government, I mean even the corporations which govern us too, even if they're not technically the government. There are always people who've got an agenda for you, for your resources, and it was just nice to take a vacation away from those sorts of people. So, I mean, that in itself was just tremendous and makes the event really worth going to. It's a real weight off the old shoulders. But the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, it was also a very important learning experience for me, I suppose. I mean, some of the things that I did learn were things that I already knew implicitly, but really just going and living these values with people, it carries such a tremendous weight that it's almost like you can't truly learn a lesson until you've experienced it in action. And that's what the MPLF was able to provide, at least me, with. So what am I talking about? On this show, especially if you've read my book, you know that I'm concerned with actual communities, having actual counter-economic systems. And that's not really something I've talked much about yet. However, I do allude to it rather strongly towards the end of my book, the idea of being responsible for your own resources and your own income to whatever extent you can. And what that means is also fostering organic relationships with people that you can relate to and you can trust. In other words, making communities is probably at the top of the list of things you can do to combat the tyrannical systems that pervade our lives. And so going to the fest, it was actually an event by which communities were constructed. And I don't just mean that while we were there for that weekend, we were all part of a temporary, a sort of ramshackle traveling community or something like that. What I mean is that we go and you meet people, and because it is the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, generally the people who were attending tend to be from the same area of the country. And so that means when I go back home, when everyone goes back home, I've got a fresh list of phone numbers or Facebook friends or whatever, however people communicate. These are people I can hit up, make plans with, and we can go see each other even though the fest has already been over. So that's crucial. And this goes beyond the sort of standard modern era's conception of a community as being a sort of byproduct of the internet. This is our connections that were being made through the MPLF are largely indirectly related to the internet, in that the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest is essentially a collection of people who did meet on the internet. But the important point is that we actually met physically, whereas nowadays it seems generally that people are perfectly content to meet someone online, to get to know them virtually, and then pretty much let the relationship stop there. So people have online friends who they really only ever meet online. Maybe they'll meet once or twice in real life, but the relationship truly exists online, which, you know, I guess there's nothing intrinsically wrong with that, but people can't get confused. Real community needs to be physical. You have to be in physical proximity with each other if it's actually going to be really valuable and really meaningful. Not trying to denigrate your internet friend or whatever, but the reality is the internet could go away. Maybe the power grid doesn't fail or something, but maybe your ability to communicate with certain people is cut off for any number of reasons. We certainly know, as people have been yelling about for some time now, that there's a wave of censorship sweeping the web, particularly among circles of people who have dissident ideologies, of which people who follow this podcast probably ascribe. So, what you gotta do is make sure that you can actually get in touch physically with the people that you make friends with online who share your values, because the day might come when you actually need to go see that person and exchange resources or whatever. So, I mean, really, really, what the fest succeeded in drilling home to me was the internet is a means to an end, but it is not an end in itself. The internet can get you in touch with people, but then you have to get up, you got to get in the car or get on your bike or whatever, and you got to go see those people. You have to shake hands with them in real life, despite COVID. You got to go see them. You got to go have dinner with them. Have a meal with people that you share values with. Do a favor for someone that you share values with. You know, case in point, I'm right now in not my house. I'm in a friend's house. I'm taking care of their cats. Well, they're out of town. I couldn't do that if he lived in Montana and I here lived in Cleveland. You know, I can't do that virtually. I gotta be here. If you actually want to create communities with people, if you want to help each other out, you have to be nearby. There's just no getting around it. No getting around it. When you're in a pinch, if you need something right away, you're going to need to rely on the people who are closest to you. So in other words, you need to make sure if you're going to have an actual functional community by which the tyrannical systems that are in place can be genuinely circumvented with any real efficacy, you have to be able to make immediate, real-time transactions with people who have resources you want or need and who share your values. You gotta be close to each other because the internet thing that we've got going on, as I say, could be gone at any time. But also, if I want to send you something in the mail, that's all well and good. If we want to transact, fine. But think of how many middlemen there are in that transaction. I mean, mailman, Amazon man, bank processing, credit card, blah, blah, blah. Endless chains of middlemen, bureaucrats who, frankly, have no business being involved in our counter-economic activities. And just to clarify, by counter-economic, I don't mean just like illegal stuff. I mean any sort of transaction that takes place independently of the state or as independently as possible. We really don't need corporate bean counters involved in that activity, do we? So this all is to say that we need to get in touch with each other physically. And the MPLF was a great event to do just that. Not only did we spend time physically with each other, people were bartering, people were trading, people were exchanging currency without any sort of tax man present or credit card processing company present. It all happened organically and in person, but it also meant that we could take those connections home with us. The fest, while it lasts a weekend, benefits you all year round. Oh, yeah, this is something maybe you can't quite take home with you, but boy, it made the fest magnificent. And that was the fact that the food was absolutely tremendous. Every single day, the food was just, it was great. So shout out to the Assault Kitchen. They really kicked ass at this one. This is the first fest I've been to. I think they're always the ones who do the food, but damn, I was impressed. And I look forward to returning next year for many reasons, the food being one of those reasons. And I also got to try yak jerky. Yak jerky. And I got to tell you, probably the best jerky I've ever had. I mean, it was just, first of all, it was like fresh made. It was legit organic. Nick Hazelton is the anarcho-yakitalist. Some of you, most of you probably are familiar with him. He's an awesome dude. And he was there and he brought a bag of yak jerky and holy shit. I really hope he starts selling that stuff. It's amazing and I want to have some right now, as a matter of fact. I'm a jerky fiend, by the way. And I mean, I love it. And it's having the yak jerky. I'm almost worried that it's like gonna ruin all the rest of the jerky in the world for me, but I'll get by. Nonetheless, I still want to get my hands on some. So, community was great. Making connections was great. The food was great. The exposure was great. I mean, since being at the fest, I've looked online. I've looked at my podcast feed and stuff, and my numbers have gone up. Now, I'm certainly no podcast extraordinaire. But, I mean, my numbers have significantly gone up and people who have listened to it, I think, based on the numbers that I have seen, I think there have been people who've come on and, like, listened to every single episode I've done. Because, like, each episode has significantly gone up in listens. So, that's fantastic. Like I said, I sold 20 books. So, someone's reading the thing. Someone's doing something about it. So, that's absolutely fantastic. Part of the reason I wanted to record this show and get it out to just sort of say hey to everyone. The last episode I put out was before the fest, so I just want to acknowledge that this happened and that there are new people, and also, again, share the lessons I learned. But, geez, it's an amazing thing that just getting out there, and again, like I say, being physically near people is probably going to be the best thing you can do if you want to expand your counter-economic activities. In my case, podcasting, book selling, and whatnot. So it was physically being near people and being able to have in-depth conversations with them about what it is that I'm doing that gets them interested. And they also get to see, hey, you know, this is a person, you know, it's not some just like drone online. Oh, sorry, if you hear the banging around, that would be my friend's cats. Having physical contact with people is crucial, is the point that I keep repeating because it's so damn important. So the exposure that I got, aside from selling the book and meeting a bunch of cool people, was also that I managed to get myself on three podcasts, two of which were on The Great School Sucks, which, I mean, again, one of the greatest podcasts ever. So that was a true honor. I was on the episode that you already heard. I am briefly featured on another one that you'll be hearing. I don't want to say much about that one. And then I was also on Bootsy Greencast, which will be coming out soon, I believe. And I think I'll be releasing that one here in my podcast feed as well. Sort of general overview, introduction to my work, but also with some really interesting back and forth between me and the host of that show, Owen. So thank you, Owen, for inviting me on the show. It was a tremendous interview. We recorded it in a rather sweltering tent at the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. I was sitting on an air mattress, and Owen was, I think, sitting on the floor. He was gracious enough to allow me the padding. So thank you for that as well. And I look forward to listening back to that one, because frankly, that day, I think that was the second day of the fest, everything was just going by so fast and everything was so great, I hardly remember what I even said. So hopefully I didn't make an ass of myself too much. So I look forward to that one, and I'll, regardless whether I make an ass of myself or not, I'll be putting it on the feed for you all to hear, either to enjoy or to criticize me for, whatever the case may be. All of these benefits of going to the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, I can hardly quantify them. All I can do is once again deeply, deeply thank everyone involved in putting it together and everyone who made the trip to get there and who's funding it by paying to get in. Just absolutely magnificent crowd of people, truly hardworking, and this is the work that needs done. If we're serious about solutions, this is it, folks. This is it. And we are serious about the solutions. You know, another great thing about the fest was you go there, and it's not like it's just a bunch of concerned, angry, bitter losers who are bitching and moaning about the problems of the government and corporations, and oh, they're so big and so unstoppable, there's nothing we can do. Ugh. There was, like, none of that. Almost every conversation that I heard was based on solutions. Like, what can we be doing? When I go home from the fest, what can I plant outside? What can I do with my business? What can I teach my children? Those were the conversations that were being had. Constructive solutions talk was where it was at. Everyone was positive and ready to go and feeling active and productive. There was none of that sort of like bitter defeatist mentality going on. And I wasn't expecting that, but I just wanted to really emphasize that that's the case. And that's really the attitude we all need to be taking. You know, when I was a little kid, back in eighth grade, which is really when I first got into all of this stuff, which is maybe a little too early, frankly. And it's too early because I had no way of really having a healthy relationship with it. You know, I started watching like Alex Jones breaking into the Bohemian Grove videos again when I was in eighth grade. And that sort, when you see a group of weird dudes dressed like druids burning up an effigy in front of a gigantic stone owl, sacrificing their care so they can be psychopaths throughout the year, kind of instills a sense of hopelessness, right? I mean, I got very cynical and very jaded very quickly. It wasn't even like sad at that point. I was so young and so impressionable, and I soaked all that stuff up, and I became sort of like a happy defeatist in a way, you know, like, it's all crashing and burning and fuck it, that's all there is to it. Very like kind of nihilistic in a way. That's not the way to be. You know, because that's the sort of attitude that says, well, don't even bother trying to fix it. Just sort of enjoy your time here while it lasts, and it won't last long. So just enjoy, have fun, get drunk, party, and that's it. But the reality is that there is plenty we can do. And now luckily I've changed my mindset on this issue over the past 5 years or more, but some people don't change. Some people stay on the internet and they stay gripey and upset, and this is why it's so important to actually get in touch with people physically, because then once you do that, you realize that there's actually things you can do that will address these issues. You can become food independent. You can educate your children. You can gather your own news and information and learn to think critically. You can start a business, et cetera, et cetera. All of these things are possible, and sometimes all you need is a little kick in the pants from some friends. That's yet another benefit of the fest, is sort of, if anyone is still stuck in that bitter, defeatist mindset, next year, get yourself over to the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, and I promise you, the good people there will shake you out of your dismal depression. It'll just take a couple of days and maybe some food from the assault kitchen, but pretty soon you'll be seeing that there is some hope after all. So I'm getting near to the end of what I wanted to discuss today. But one really important lesson that I did learn by actually being there and by engaging with everyone was a lesson in counter-economics and sort of getting over the hurdle that I and many other people I've spoken to suffer from. Or do you suffer from a hurdle? I'm mixing my metaphors here. Pretend I didn't do that. Pretend it was a really clever metaphor I just made and move along. The lesson was that basically, well, no, before I tell the lesson, I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem that a lot of people have, including myself, is sort of getting stuck in a pre-internet conception of what marketing is, what sales is, what business is. So for me, you know, there's an old Bill Hicks bit where he says, you know, anyone who's in advertising or marketing, kill yourselves. The audience laughs. He says, no, I'm not joking. Actually, do it. And then he continues to make fun of how the marketer will, like, oh, well, Bill's just playing to this or that dollar, you know, to try to make us laugh. No, I mean it. Kill yourselves. Because, as everyone knows, marketers, advertisers, these are vermin, right? These are the scum of the earth. These are the people who sell poison to your children and suffer nothing for it. So who likes them? And, you know, you'd see a commercial and it's always so cringy. And, you know, you talk about critical thinking and learning to spot a rational argument from an irrational argument. Advertisement is almost entirely irrational pseudo-argumentation. It's playing to your emotions. It's manipulating you. And certainly once you begin to see through that, you say, well, why in the world would I want to take part in any of that? Not only is it unethical and whatever else, but also it's just like gross. It's cringy. It's unsavory. It's an altogether unattractive look. Selling to somebody. Gives you the willies, right? In my Bernays episode, I played a bunch of Carlin clips. In the very last one I closed the show with was his advertising lullaby. And, you know, you recall that one if you listen to the episode. And I think that, you know, Hicks and Carlin and people like that who were commenting on business in general were doing so in an era when business was essentially dominated, or at least the businesses we heard about and had most access to, were these gigantic Walmarts and, you know, take your pick, Kmart, all these gigantic stores, all these gigantic industries that essentially had a lock on the economy. If you wanted a given product, you were going to have to go to them. And that's that. So they were right to deride these businessmen. But nowadays the situation is different. You know, but a lot of people can't shake that old impression of businessmen, of marketers. We're still stuck in this idea that, well, if I do that, if I have a product, and then I engage in actually trying to get people to want to buy it, then now I'm Philip Morris, you know? I'm the tobacco company now. I'm some gross, disgusting, whore businessman who just wants to make a buck and will do whatever he can to get that buck. And so then people stop themselves from marketing their own product, something that they made, that they produced, or a service that they, with their own hands, provide, something of actual value, something that some people actually might need. You stop yourself from getting that thing to them because you don't want to be the businessman. And I suffer from this problem. I do. I don't want to say ashamed, but I'm not really embarrassed. I just have an aversion to self-promotion because immediately, like the idea of me promoting myself, what goes through my head is, oh, well, that other person, they just see me as a businessman or whatever. You know, they see me as that guy who's just like, oh, he's just here to make money or he's just here to get something. And so I don't like to do it. I get embarrassed. And then getting embarrassed, that sort of that stops the whole process. You got to be confident if you want to sell something, if you want to convince people that you've got some value, something that they might want. Well, you got to believe in yourself. You got to walk up there and say, hey, here's what I got. Do you want it? Yes or no. But if you get all like weird and like, oh, well, I'm really sorry to ask, but I noticed that you might want this thing. You sound like a fucking buffoon. You got to be confident. And so what I learned at the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest was that you are not Edward Bernays. I am not Edward Bernays. We are not these manipulative, logical, fallacy-ridden jerk-offs who come strutting into any place they happen to wind up at, and, you know, they're selling the iceberg to the Eskimo, trying to make a buck off whatever they can, regardless of the fact that the person in front of them doesn't really need, and otherwise wouldn't even really want, the product or service in question. Sorry again if you hear that banging. cats have no respect for podcasting. Anyway, you're not that guy. That guy does exist, and you're right to dislike him. But here, you're not him. If you've got something valuable that you created or that you do, you got to go out there and give it to people, preferably in a way that will also be beneficial to you. We've got these misconceptions about profit and business that if you've got something that people want or need, and you have any sense that you are owed something in return for that, that you're greedy or selfish, and you should just give it away. This sort of like overly liberal, left-wingish commie idea that so many people suffer from, and I do mean suffer from, it is an ailment of the mind to believe that if you expend your limited time and resources and energy to producing a product or learning a skill to then provide as a service, that somehow, despite the fact that you spent things that you can never get back, you somehow owe everyone else who didn't do that these products or services for free. That is bonkers. So remember that. I mean, if you spent your time and energy and resources on doing something, and you find someone who might need that something, well, it's kind of your job to make sure they get the thing you've got. But the other half of your job is making sure that it's worth your time, effort, and resources. You got to make it worth your while too. Not because you're greedy or selfish or just want a dollar, but because that's the only sustainable economic model there is. Mutual benefit. Voluntary mutual benefit. I hate to use the word sustainable, by the way, because it's so wrapped up in UN austerity garbage that it's tainted. When I say sustainable, you might think I'm some kind of like Maurice Strong UNICEF dork. I want to come up with a better word instead of sustainable. Like, it's not a sustainable economic model. It's a sturdy economic model. I don't know. I'll throw it to the audience. Let's workshop an alternative to sustainable, because it is a good word, but you know, some other people got to it before we did. A competent model? I don't know. Whatever word you want to use, the fact of the matter is that mutual aid is the only thing that's going to get all of us where we want to go. You can't martyr yourself economically and expect to actually get anywhere. It doesn't work that way. And so that's what I learned at the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. You know, just because you're trying to sell muffins or whatever, doesn't mean you're the same as Edward Bernays. And also, turns out that if you've got an honest product and an honest pitch, and you just tell someone, hey, look, here's what's going on, here's why this might be of value to you, most people are actually pretty cool. Most people don't think, ugh, marketing. You know, most people are like, oh, interesting. They'll listen to what you have to say. They'll hear your spiel. Now, that doesn't always mean they'll buy your product, because maybe it's not for them. And that's fine. It's not going to be for everybody. That's fine. You don't need to lie and manipulate those people into thinking, well, actually, you do want... No. It's fine. It's totally fine. Find someone who does. There are people who need what you're doing. Get yourself in front of them. Be confident in yourself, and you don't need to be those dickheads that we rightfully hate to do so. What else? As I said, and again, I'm horrible. I gotta stop saying things like, I'm getting to the end, or wrapping up, because it's almost never true. I've also gotta stop telling my audience what episodes are coming up next, because they always wind up taking much longer than I wanted, and so I wind up doing these impromptu, off-the-cuff episodes in between, and that makes me a liar, because now if you go back to listen to the last episode, you say, next time you hear from me, I'll be doing blah, 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 and then next time you hear from me, I'm talking about something completely different. This is my way of saying that British Empire episode I promised last time, I'm hard at work at it, and it's going to be a fat, long chubster of an episode. But, you know, it's not ready yet. So consider this the last time I ever talk about what's coming up ahead. And I know I've already promised episodes even beyond that one in the future. So those are all coming too, don't worry. I will keep all of my promises, of course, but I gotta, because I obligate myself to these future projects, and then it makes me feel like I need to work on them faster than they ought to be worked on. So anyway, for the last time you're hearing any future news, that British Empire episode will be coming, and well, frankly, that episode could be made into a book one day. The outline is just so long, and there's so much to it. So I'm really looking forward to that one coming out, and I can't wait for you all to hear it, because I do think it's going to be good. Anyway, oh, right. I got to stop saying I'm getting to the end. I'm getting closer to the end. I'm always getting closer to the end, so I'll just say that. Getting closer to the end of this off-the-cuff episode, I already mentioned that, you know, people weren't just, you know, ho-humming about how shitty everything is and how we're screwed and the government's going to win and we're going to lose. And like Joe Biden said, you know, they've got the nukes and so what are we going to do? It was none of that. You know, if there was any talk like that, it was making fun of that mentality. Because you can't go to the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest and be all Debbie Downer, because everything you're seeing right in front of your face is evidence to the contrary that the victory of tyranny is in any way like foretold or fated, whatever you want to say. You know, it ain't written in stone. We can do things to conquer it, or to conquer it. That sounds so dramatic and Alex Jonesian. To counter it. We don't need to conquer it. We're going around and underneath it. We don't need to go over the system. We need to work out alternatives to it. So conquer really is the wrong word. To counter it. It was all very productive. It was all very educational. Making connections with these intelligent people as I did. And also, luckily for me, they're close by. So, I mean, already at the time of my recording this, I've actually gone and visited someone from the fest. And we're talking about, you know, different gardening strategies and things of that nature. Productive action that can be taken right here locally. I'm at the moment actually making plans to go see another person from the fest. And, you know, hopefully this trend of continually seeing these people throughout the year continues, because as I said at the beginning, and I will say again and again and again, physical community is 1A, priority numero uno. That's what we got to be doing. We got to be getting in touch with people. And luckily these aren't weird, you know, incel freaks who want to do nothing but talk about how everything sucks. These are people who are not only just talking about solutions, these are people who are living it. A lot of these people work for themselves or are on the path to working for themselves by like getting valuable products and resources and services to people, not by selling some fidget spinner bullshit, but by actually like doing things like growing food, you know? So, and that's where I want to get as well. And so, you know, those are the people I need to be hanging out with, the people who are already doing it. Who better to spend time with than the people who are already doing what you want to be doing? But that said, you know, it was very productive and educational and useful, but it also wasn't like a convention of dour Ted Kaczynski wannabes just talking about what needs to be done. It was also just a lot of fun. Like, a lot of fun. Not every single conversation was about homeschool curricula and how to grow a certain kind of turnip. You know, we had conversations about movies and freaking all these whacked out internet conspiracy theories, just fun stuff, getting to know people casually, being people with people. Not everything was all business all the time. Most of what was going on was fun, cracking jokes. Most of what was going on was just fun. We spent a lot of time around a bonfire at the end of the night. There was some stand-up comedy going on. There's some joking around on the live podcasts that we did. As you heard, if you listened to the School Sucks episode, it was just a great attitude. Everyone was having a blast. And that's another reason to go. The most important thing the fest provides, aside from what it itself provides, is the stuff that you can take with you. And, of course, that's the relationships that you make while you're there. As I said, I've visited someone, I'll be visiting more people, so that's something that continues on. It's a gift that keeps on giving. But even aside from that, is the knowledge that while everyone else is screeching about the end of the world and fucking COVID and Afghanistan and internet censorship and all that stuff, while everything is crumbling, apparently, and while so many regular people who have their 9-to-5 and they've bought into the system their entire life, these people are, I think, beginning to see that their system that they've put so much stock into is crumbling around them. And the unfortunate thing is that a lot of these people, even despite the fact that their systems are failing, still cannot see that it's the system itself that is flawed. You know, they see Trump as the problem or Biden as the problem. And if only we could get that idiot out and get their guy back in or whatever, then everything would start to fix itself. When the reality is just that the system is, well, it doesn't exist to serve you. But while everyone's living in that world and freaking out about the collapse of their civilization as they recognize it, there are perfectly decent, ethical, intelligent, competent folks out in the world actually building a better world for themselves, their children, their parents, and their larger communities of people that they know and people that they trust and people who share their ideology, that ideology being very vague, because it turns out there's not a lot of ideological or dogmatic purity among these folks. You go to the MPLF, you see some sorts of like military garb wearing people, and standing right next to them are the friggin' hippies with their drum circle. You know, like literally, they were there too. And I imagine that while there may be some cultural differences between these types of people, fundamentally, they agree that even if they don't want to live next door to each other, they want to live in the kind of place where they can both be free to live the sorts of lives they want. And that's what we share. And to do that, you've got to address the four cardinal points, which I talked about in my book, and as I've already alluded to multiple times in this show, that's pretty much what everyone was talking about at the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. Food independence, financial and resource independence, child educational independence, and of course, critical thinking. Just like I said in my book, these are the four things that we need to be really hammering on, really working on, if we're actually serious about solutions. And the fact that those four things were already being talked about at the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, long before I ever got there and sold 20 copies of my book, that tells me that these people are the real deal. They're serious. They're really doing what needs done. And so it is an honor and a privilege and an absolute joy to, I think, be qualified to consider myself one of them now. It's a community that, it's the sort of community that I think I've always wanted to be a part of. And now that I've been there and seen how welcoming these people are, I think I just might be in the club. Or if not yet, getting there. So it's, if any of this has at all interested you, look into getting out there next year. Because, you know, like I say, these are people who are really doing the work that needs done, and they're more than happy to teach you how to do the same. So, MPLFest.org is the website. Obviously, it's another year off, but seriously consider going if any of this is at all important to you, or if you just want to have some damn fun, because it's that too, as I said multiple times. Being a little repetitive in this show, but it's really just to nail down the sort of time I had and the lessons that I learned. So I hope I'm not forgetting anything. Like I said, there are so many people who put so much work into setting this thing up that I just want to collectively thank all of them from the bottom of my chest organ for doing what they did and for doing it again next year. When it happens, it's going to be great. And so I look forward to being there again, and I look forward to seeing all the folks that I saw this past time around and meeting some new people, whatever else happens. It's a blast. Thank you guys for listening to this rambling episode. I hope you got something out of it. I know I did, just reflecting on the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. God, it makes me wish it was coming up again soon. But anyway, I'm going to wrap it here, this time for real. So keep your eyes on the feed. Got some episodes coming up, some fatties, some deep dives, so that'll be fun. No, I'm not going to tell you what's coming after that. So you're just going to have to wait and see. Thanks for listening. Welcome again to all the new people who... Well, I know you're out there. So thanks for giving this a try. I know this is kind of a weird episode, especially if it's the first one you're hearing after hearing me on The School Sucks. Usually the show tends to be very tight, and I do some historical and philosophical deep dives into things, so go back and check out episodes that I've done in the past that tickle your fancy. On that note, thank you again for listening, and take care.
Peace in the valley for me, dear Lord, I pray.
There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble I see.
There will be peace in the valley for me. The bear will be gentle, and the wolf will be tame, and the lion shall lay down with the lamb, oh yes, and the beast from the wild will be led by a child, and I'll be changed from this creature that I am, oh yes.
There will be peace in the valley for me someday.
There will be peace in the valley for me, dear Lord, I pray.
There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble I see.
There will be peace in the valley for me.